Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us and Them by Jason Stanley is a clear research-driven guide to understanding how fascist politics can emerge inside modern democracies. Rather than treating fascism as a distant historical anomaly, Stanley explains it as a recurring political style built from recognizable patterns of propaganda, identity manipulation, and institutional erosion. Drawing on examples from 20th century Europe and contemporary public life, he shows how movements gain power by dividing societies into a virtuous in-group and a dangerous out-group. The book emphasizes how language, media narratives, and selective history can normalize exclusion and justify attacks on rights and expertise. Stanley writes for readers who want to identify early warning signs without reducing every political disagreement to a simplistic label. The result is a framework for thinking critically about rhetoric and power, and for recognizing the practical steps by which democratic norms can be weakened from within. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the us versus them engine. A central theme is how fascist politics constructs identity around a hardened boundary between a supposed real people and those cast as outsiders. Stanley explains that this boundary is not merely cultural, it becomes a moral hierarchy. The in-group is portrayed as authentic, hardworking, and deserving, while out-groups are blamed for crime, economic decline, cultural change, or national humiliation. This framing turns complex social problems into a narrative of betrayal and contamination, making exclusion feel like common sense rather than ideology. The point is not to persuade with evidence, but to mobilize with belonging and fear. Once the social world is split this way, policies that would otherwise seem extreme can be sold as self-defense. Civil liberties become negotiable. Equal citizenship becomes conditional, and political opponents are treated as enemies rather than fellow participants. Stanley highlights how this engine can be adapted to local contexts, targeting different groups depending on national history. Understanding the mechanism helps readers notice when rhetoric shifts from debating policy to policing identity, and when political loyalty becomes tied to ethnicity, religion, or a mythic national culture. Secondly, propaganda, language, and the capture of meaning. Stanley focuses on propaganda not only as misinformation, but as a method of reshaping how people interpret reality. Fascist politics relies on emotionally charged stories, repeated slogans, and strategic ambiguity that allows supporters to hear what they want while critics struggle to pin claims down. Language becomes a tool to drain words like freedom, patriotism, and law and order of their democratic content and refill them with partisan meaning. This also includes the constant suggestion that only one leader or movement speaks for the people, which makes disagreement look like disloyalty. Another tactic is the creation of a permanent crisis atmosphere, where urgency overrides deliberation and exceptions become normal. Stanley shows how attacks on independent journalism, expertise, and education fit into this. If citizens cannot share standards of evidence, power can define truth through repetition and dominance. The result is not simply confusion, but a new common sense in which contradictions no longer discredit leaders, because identity is doing the persuasive work. Readers come away with a practical lens for evaluating political speech, noticing patterns like scapegoating, euphemisms for repression, and narratives that frame cruelty as necessary. Thirdly, mythic history and national rebirth. Another key topic is the use of a romanticized past to justify present-day hierarchy. Stanley explains that fascist politics often promises national restoration, claiming the country was once pure, orderly, and respected until enemies within and outside caused decline. This story simplifies history into a moral drama, erasing past injustices and ignoring the contributions of groups now treated as threats. By presenting the nation as having a single true tradition, the movement can portray pluralism as decay and equality as an attack on heritage. The promise of rebirth also makes compromise seem shameful, because the goal is not policy improvement, but redemption. Stanley connects this mythic history to education battles, monument politics, and cultural symbolism, where controlling the narrative of the past becomes a way to control the future. If citizens accept the idea that only some people are the rightful heirs of the nation, then policies that restrict voting access, target immigration, or suppress dissent can be reframed as restoration rather than repression. This topic encourages readers to examine whose stories are centered, whose suffering is denied, and how nostalgia can become a political weapon. Fourthly, hierarchy, law, and the erosion of democratic norms. Stanley describes fascist politics as fundamentally hierarchical, committed to ranking groups and naturalizing inequality. One way this hierarchy advances is through selective enforcement of law. Rules become strict for disfavored groups and flexible for allies, making the legal system feel like a tool of domination rather than fairness. Over time, institutions that check power are pressured to serve loyalty rather than principle. Stanley highlights how corruption can be normalized when it is presented as necessary to defeat enemies, and how procedural constraints are portrayed as obstacles to the people's will. This is tied to rhetoric that glorifies strength and dismisses compromise as weakness. Another element is the delegitimization of elections and opposition, where losing becomes unthinkable because only the movement is said to represent the nation. When that belief takes hold, extraordinary measures can be justified to secure victory, and violence can be excused as patriotic defense. This topic helps readers understand that democratic decline often happens through incremental changes, politicized institutions, weakened oversight, and the steady replacement of universal rights with conditional privileges for the favored in group. Lastly, victimhood, fear, and mobilization, a recurring pattern Stanley examines, is the cultivation of collective victimhood among the dominant group. Fascist politics tells supporters they are being robbed of status, silenced by elites, or replaced by outsiders, even when they hold substantial power. This sense of grievance is emotionally potent because it turns privilege into a perceived entitlement and then frames equality as oppression. Fear is amplified through stories of disorder, moral panic, or criminal menace, often tied to racial, religious, or ideological targets. Stanley explains that this emotional environment makes people more willing to accept harsh policies, because punishment feels like protection and cruelty can be reframed as justice. It also creates a bond between leader and followers. The leader claims to feel their humiliation personally and promises to restore dignity through confrontation. In such a climate, complex realities like economic change or demographic shifts are reduced to intentional attacks by enemies. The movement gains energy by offering a simple script: you are good, they are dangerous, and only we can save you. Recognizing this pattern helps readers separate legitimate policy concerns from narratives designed to inflame resentment and channel it toward authoritarian solutions. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want a practical framework for identifying authoritarian rhetoric in real time: students, educators, journalists, community leaders, and any citizen trying to evaluate political claims beyond partisan reflexes. It is also valuable for people who feel overwhelmed by polarization and want to understand how division is manufactured and maintained. The main benefit is clarity. Stanley breaks fascist politics into recognizable components, helping readers spot when debates shift from evidence and pluralism to identity policing, scapegoating, and contempt for democratic constraints. That awareness can change daily habits, from how you consume media to how you talk with others, because it encourages skepticism toward fear-based narratives and a renewed commitment to shared civic standards. Compared with many books that treat fascism primarily as a historical case study, this one emphasizes mechanisms that travel across time and place. It links propaganda, mythic history, and institutional capture into a coherent model that readers can apply to contemporary events without needing specialized background. If you want a concise, concepts-driven guide that connects political theory with everyday rhetoric and democratic vulnerability, it is worth buying for its usefulness and its urgency. If you would like to support Jason Stanley, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.